Okay, the Ramban continues. Hodio tchila inyan b'riyas ha-shamayim v'aretz b'chol tzvam. Again, we discussed last time the idea that how Hashem created the Torah and created the world from the Torah, and the idea of eishal, eish levan al gabe eish shchora, black and white, and we discussed what those means. Hodio tchila inyan b'riyas ha-shamayim v'aretz b'chol tzvam. Hashem first told Moshe Rabbeinu about how the world was created, kolomar b'riyas kol nivra ha'elyonim tachtonim, and how we created the upper worlds and the lower worlds. And he also told Moshe about things about the Maisim Merkava. The Maisim Merkava is the vision that Yechezkel has that is in the beginning of Yechezkel in Parak Vav, and we to the Haftorah for Shavuos. It contains a lot of Yesodos about Kabbalah and what Kabbalah is based on. The Gemara Chagiga discusses this Haftorah at length about what Yechezkel saw. And also Maisim Bereishis. Maisim Bereishis meaning, you know, what happened in creation. And also, which is a foundational idea of Kabbalah, of what happened into the creation of the world, and Hashem's emanations and Hashem's kochos led to the Briyas Ha'olam. The Rambam has a different view of what these things mean. The Rambam thinks that Maisim Merkava and Maisim Bereishis don't refer to Kabbalistic ideas. They refer to ideas that are like physics and metaphysics and philosophical ideas. The Rambam's more of a rationalist, so he has a different approach. The Ramban is a Kabbalist, so he has a more Kabbalistic approach. V'amakubal behem l'chachamim. And all these things were passed down by the Chachamim, im toledes arba kochos shebetachtonim, and also the four forces of the lower world, the things we have in this world, koach ha-machtzavim, metals, koach simchei ha-adama, the ability of plants, v'nefesh ha-tznua, the ability of animals, v'nefesh ha-medaber, and human beings, right? The definition of a human being is, as Uncle says in the beginning of Bereishis, ruach memalala, we have the ability to speak, and that's what differentiates you from a dolphin, or a raven, or any other smart animals. All of these things were taught to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, how they were made, their essence, how they function, and how eventually they will also, you know, degrade over time and eventually disappear. Hakol nichtav b'Torah b'feirush obremes. And this is the Ramban's next episode here. Every single thing in the world is hinted to in the Torah. Every single piece of science, every single piece of history, every single piece of wisdom is hinted to or explicitly said within the Torah itself. This is also a foundational idea of the Ramban. He repeats this in his essay on Torah, Torah Seshem Tamima. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Hafoch ba hafoch ba dekula ba. It's a song. I think it was a song by Shweki. No? Maybe? Okay. You can check that up. And you have to constantly be turning over the Torah. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, if you review the Torah again and again, and you go back again and again, you'll see new ideas you didn't see before. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that all of the wisdom of the world revealed to Moshe in the form of Torah Shebaal Peh, but Hashem didn't reveal to Moshe where they can be discovered. You have to go and you have to look. It's the job of each person to get inside Torah Shebichsav and to find all those secrets. And the Chasam Sofer writes in the Drashos that every wisdom can be found in the Torah if you really learn Torah seriously. He repeats this in the Tshuvos as well. The Perish Leib Tzion asks that the Gemara in Shabbos says that even the Malach HaMaves gave something, and Moshe told Aaron how to stop the plague. It says, "Vayitin haSakatoros v'yichaper alam." When there was a plague in Parshas Korach, it was Bnei Israel denied, and they protested against the role of Levium, so it was a terrible plague. And Moshe gave the secret that if you offer the Ketores, it will stop a plague. That's why during COVID, a lot of people got into reading the Parsha of the Ketores, because of this Gemara, it became a big thing. So the Leiv Tzion asks, if it wasn't for the Malach HaMaves, would he have known it? Meaning, we just learned that every single thing is found in the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew all of the Torah, and he knew all of the secrets in the Torah. So why did he need the Malach HaMaves to find the secret to stop a plague by offering the Ketores? Why couldn't Moshe just, I don't know, open up a Chumash and find exactly how to stop a plague? So the Leib Tzion says that the Torah only reveals natural abilities and concepts within the natural world. But the Ketores is an inyan siguli, it's supernatural. And maybe those supernatural things are not revealed in the Torah. Okay, but Akasha, a question on the Gemara, a question on the Ramban, whatever it may be. But again, going back to this idea that every single thing is found in the Torah. And if you just learn it enough, you'll come to find those ideas. And everything is found within the text of the Torah. There's a famous legend that is ascribed to the Ramban, It's brought in the Sefer, the Shashal Sakabala. Shashal Sakabala is a book like written like in the 1500s that has a lot of famous stories. But there's a lot of discussion whether Shashal Sakabala is accurate or not. The Chida in his Sefer Shem HaGadol, which he writes about all the different Sfarim and Gadol Yisrael, the Chida has very sharp words to say about the Shashal Sakabala and how it's not reliable and people should not base their emunah on the stories brought there. Anyway, we'll tell the story regardless. The Shalshal Sakabala tells the story that the Ramban had a Talmud, and his name was Avner. And Avner was a big Talmud Chacham, and he went off the Derech, and eventually converted to Christianity. And eventually, the Ramban and Avner met up at some point. Avner was causing trouble with the Jewish community, and they met up again. And the Ramban said, "You were such a promising scholar. What happened to you? Why'd you leave the yeshiva? Why'd you join the church?" So he said, "Because you taught us," and this is something the Ramban happens to hint to in Parshas Hazino, "that every single thing in the history of the world is hinted to in Parshas Hazino. Every single thing. And I found that to be utterly ridiculous. Every single thing is hinted to in Parshas Hazino. That's crazy." So the Ramban says, "Yeah, I know. I meant it. Like, it's real. I'm not joking around." So Avner says to the Ramban, "Yeah, fine. Prove it to me. Where am I hinted to in Hazinu and where I went off the Derech?" So I don't remember the pasuk exactly. I have to have a chumash in front of me. But the Ramban, on the spot, says, "What are you talking about? It's right here." He opens up Parshas Hazinu, and there's four psukim in the world, four words in a row that talk about how Klal Yisrael are going to be lost, and they're going to be lost forever, and they're going to be punished in some terrible way. And I think the second or the third letter in those four words spells out Avner, something like that. Like on the spot. The Ramban like didn't even hesitate. Like on the spot, he said, "It's a remez right here. It's right here in Parshas Hazinu." So Avner was very shaken by that. And Avner had done a lot of bad things against the Jewish community. And he said to the Ramban, what can I do for tshuva?" And the Ramban said, "Well, according to the pasuk, you can't do, like, I don't know. I don't know what you can do." So the story is, I think in the Shalshal Sakabal, it says that Avner like got in a boat and he like sailed out to sea and like was never returned. I don't know, something like that. Some crazy ending. Not a warm and fuzzy ending. The point is not the warm and fuzzy ending. The point is that the Ramban held and writes and shows that every single thing in the history of the world is hinted to, let alone Parshas Hazinu, but also the entirety of the Torah. The Torah contains all of these wisdoms that are available to every single person. So, Ukvar Amar Rabbeinu, Chamishim Sharei Bina Nivru Ba'olam. There are 50 gates of wisdom that are created in the world. V'kulam Nimsru L'Moshe. All of them handed over to Moshe. Chutz Miachad, except for one. Shemar V'tachrisehu Ma'at Me'elokim. That you have made him only slightly inferior than an angel. So this is what the Gemara says. Now, the word Ma'at means slightly inferior. I think there's actually another drusha on that word Ma'at. Because look at the word Ma'at. What letters stand out? And the word ma'at, what letter stands out? Mem and tes. What's the gematria of mem and tes? 49, which is one less than 50. I think that's part of the drasha as well. It's not just that it's, we know slightly less, but techsru ma'at, mem tes melokim. We only have 49 of the gates of wisdom, not 50. I think that's another way to understand that pasuk as well. Anyway, Yomru, what's the point over here? Ki b'riyas ha'olam chamishim sharim shalbina. The creation of the world has 50 gates of understanding. Ki lunamar shia b'briyas ha'machatzev sharbina echa b'todos kocho. As if to say that there's one gate of understanding pertaining to minerals and all their forces and what they do, ubriyas tzemach adama sharbina achas, and vegetation has another gate of understanding, ubriyas ilanu sharachad, and trees have another gate. I don't know why there's a difference between trees or vegetation. The Ramban has a different count here. Ubriyas hachayos sharachad, and maybe animals, wild animals is one, ubriyas ha'ofas sharachad, and birds have another gate. All of the wisdoms and the brilliance of the world has a different gate of understanding. V'chem briyas hasharatz and briyas hadagim, and there's a gate for bugs, and there's a gate for fish. V'yala acharzeh, and then there's another gate for human beings. And it allows a person to meditate and to contemplate the essence and to know the power in its palace. The palace is the palace in the Lashon of Kabbalah means the person's body, because the palace holds the soul. So that means that the person, the power of the palace to attain these different understandings. So what does that mean? So Chazal say, this is brought in the Hechalos Rabasi. So he says as follows, looking at this fascinating medrash. Gaga, gun of Adam Yodea Makirbo. If a person stole, so Moshe Rabbeinu could look at this person and know that he stole. No way if Adam, if a person committed adultery, Moshe would look at that person, Yodea Makirbo. He could look on his face and see that the person committed adultery. Nachshar al Anida, if the man had relations with a woman who was Anida, so there as well, Moshe could look and see, Yodea Makirbo, he would know this person sinned in this particular way. The Karim Pnei Moshe, Moshe Green says that it just means not just that, but he would know if they were careful in the laws of Taras and Mishpacha. Forget if he had relations with his wife who was Anida, but he would know if they were careful in the laws. That's how much Moshe can know. Gedol Mikulan, and greater than all of this, Shemakir B'chol Balim Kshafim, Moshe knew and could understand all the experts of Kishaf, of witchcraft. Now, witchcraft uses spiritual powers that look holy, right? What is witchcraft? I'm doing spiritual things, I'm doing magic tricks, I'm pretending like I have special powers. And Moshe could identify that as sheker. Meaning, what's the koach of Moshe Rabbeinu? He could see, you know, some guy who was doing tricks or saying, oh my gosh, he could tell you what he was thinking, and he knows that you knows this thing about your childhood when you were four that nobody else knows about. And Moshe could look at that person and say, it's kishuk, it's not real. It's not the real deal, right? He wasn't swayed. And that's why Moshe was greater than everybody else. Because nothing tricked Moshe. Moshe saw through every single thing, every single ability that was out there. And therefore he says, "Umisham yala galgalim l'shamay mitzvayim," and also he could go to understand, you know, the spheres. The galgalim means, you know, the heavenly spheres. I think we said this before, that in the understanding of the Rishonim, in the days of the Rambam, and you know, the Ramban, all based on Aristotle, so they thought that we'll need a board for this, but let's see if we could... Is there a paper over here? Okay. Whenever I need a paper, but I don't need one. So here, let's see what's this. Okay. Ready? So they understood that there was actual giant clear spheres, one inside another, okay? Right? This is what they thought the world was, okay? And it was these giant clear spheres, and the planets held in place because they were stuck in these spheres. And they would all rotate and move around in these things called the galgalim. That's how they understood the world. Does that make sense to you? Yes? Okay. So that's what it means over here. Some of them are visible, some of them are not visible. And that's what he says regarding this. And he talks about Shema Utsvayim, or the angels. And each one has a gate of wisdom that the other one doesn't have. And all of that is in Torah. The Ramban is trying to make a point here. When a person learns Torah, you are accessing all of those gates of wisdom. You are coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umisparam mekubal lahem, I kept the Rosh Yotevis here, ayin hey. Because there's a machlokas, what this Rosh Tevas is in the Ramban. There's a debate in the different versions. Either it means mekubal lahem al av hashalom, meaning of blessed memory, the sages, or it means al ha-kabbalah, they have a tradition. Regardless, I left it closed so each person could interpret it that they want. Shehem chamishim chos miyachad, which means we have a tradition that it's 50 minus 1. Ve'av sheshia hashar hazeh b'yediyas habar yisparach shal nimsar nivra, and perhaps we could say that the 50th gate is the knowledge of Hashem Himself, which is not be able to transmit to any human being, because we cannot ever understand the essence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? We can talk about Hashem's midos and His hanhagos, and we talk about how Hashem interacts with us, but you can never say definitively that Hashem is happy, Hashem is sad, Hashem is angry. That's kfira, because you cannot define Hashem's essence. You can say that Hashem is displaying anger, Hashem is displaying what we call happiness, or the way we understand it with his midos harachamim. But you can never say that as Hashem's essence, because we can never understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way that He is. The Ran writes in the Darim that you can never understand the essence of Hashem. The Rambam writes in the Cheshuvah, Shein koch ba'adam lahasig ulimso emsas habor, you can never understand the emes of Hashem. The Tikkun HaZohar says the same, in the Drashas Aran, Sefer Ikrim, Elu Yidiyasa Peisi. The Sefer Ikrim says, if I would know Hashem, then I would be Him, right? If I could be Hashem. Nobody wants to believe in a God that you can fully understand, right? That would be kind of depressing, right? If you knew everything about Hashem, you'd be like, and? Like, why? Like, I know that also. We want to have a Hashem. We want to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's way, way beyond us in our understanding. That's what makes Hashem, Hashem, and us, us. Now, there's a question over here. Does the Ramban mean to say that a human being, even Moshe Rabbeinu, can never know the essence of God? Is that Pashut Shad the Ramban is saying? If that's the case, then why do I need the Ramban? Did I need to read the entire introduction of the Ramban to tell me I can understand the essence of God? Is that not Dabra Pashut? The Ramban is much smarter than that. Why is that his conclusion? So there's a very fascinating Talmid Chacham who lives in Brooklyn. His name was Rav Yaakov Kapel Schwartz. He is a Satmar Dayan. He's a Rav of a shul in a Satmar shul in Brooklyn. But he's also very broad, writes on a lot of different topics, and he has a parish on the Ramban's on the Torah. So he writes in his Yaakov Ephraim that it's hard to say that because everybody knows that. So he wants to explain what it means is that no human being can have a knowledge and understanding of the world that is in a way similar to the understanding that Hashem has of the world and its creatures. Meaning, you don't think that the way that you understand a cat and a table and a bear and a dog or a cucumber is the same way that Hashem understands those things. Don't think that you and Hashem are thinking on the same wavelength. It's a davar pashut, says Rabbi Schwartz, that you cannot understand Hashem. I didn't need the Ramban to tell me that. What the Ramban is saying is something more. You will never understand something in the same way that Hashem understands it. His understanding is so much deeper, much more profound, with so much more clarity and so much more beauty you ever have. And that's important to know. We can use that in a practical sense. You think you know your friend, you think you know your parent, you think you know your sibling, you don't. Hashem knows them in a real way. You're never going to have to understand. Only Hashem is kel deos, that he knows everything. Hashem is bochein klayus, as we say. Hashem can look in your kidneys and know exactly what's going on. That's something we can never say. That's the 50th gate. No matter how much you're going to learn, you're never going to see another thing in this world in the same perspective that Hashem sees that thing. Okay. V'al tistakel ba'amram. Now, you'll tell me that Chazal say, Nivru ba'olam. It says 50 gates were created in the world. Ki al rov yidaber v'hashar echad lo nivra. You'll tell me, I understand. He says there's 50 gates. You're telling me the 50th gate doesn't exist. I can't access it. What does that mean? So Ramban says no. It means, when it says 50, it means that, what it means over here is that v'hamispar hazeh ramaz b'tor b'sviras ha'omer b'sviras ha'yovel kasher eged lo sod b'igiyah b'rosan v'kadosh baruch. Meaning, often when the Torah says 50, what it means is 49. We see it by Sphira, we see it by Yovel, and this is repeated again and again and again and again. It's the idea that Chazal sometimes doesn't make distinctions in large groups, right? They'll say, you know, they often use exaggerated numbers. They'll say, you know, this is one of the points, for example, by the Chilazon regarding Tchelas, right? The Gemara says that the Chilazon only comes up once every 70 years. So those who wear Tchelas, those who defend the wearing of Tchelas will say, those who are against Tchelas will say, well, you know, that little snail doesn't come up once in 70 years. It's not true. So therefore, it's not Tchelas. So those who wear Tchelas will say, once in 70 years means once in a long time. It doesn't mean 70 years means a unit of a lifetime, it says in Tilm, right? Shivim Shana Bugrosh, Shmonim Shana. So 70 years means a long time. That's what it means over here as well. It just means a number that distincts, that's a large distinctive amount. Let's continue. V'chol hanimsar l'Moshe Rabbeinu b'shari bina ha'kol nechta b'tor b'feirosh b'rimis v'tevos v'gematrios o b'tsuras osios b'ksuvas k'ilchasan o b'mishtanos surasim k'gon ha'lefafafos ha'kumos v'zalasim v'kutze osios v'kisrayim. Okay, now, what's the point? All of those wisdoms, every single wisdom in the entire world is hinted to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, without exception. But not always said explicitly. Sometimes it'll be in other ways as well. The Pasuk says that B'chol Beisi Nemanhu, Moshe Rabbeinu was faithful in his house. Even though Moshe was given all of this power, he never took advantage, says in the Siv. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he had all these kochos, and all Moshe Rabbeinu attained all this, he never used it in the wrong way. So the Ramban here talks about the Feirush explicit. He talks about Remiza, there should be a hint. Tevos means with particular words. Obe Gematrios. There's a debate over how we understand Gematrios. The Ramban writes in the Sefer HaGula, Kim ein adam rishay ladun b'cheshman Gematrios lehotzi behen inyan ala b'daso aval b'kabal b'yada rabbeinu chachmei HaTalmud. A person can't simply make a new Gematrios. We can only have Gematrios, says the Ramban, if you have a Kabbalah, if you have a tradition about it. Now, what's the Ramban referring to? The Ramban's referring to Gematrios that have a halachic implication. So let's say, for example, If a person says they want to be a Nazir, how many days are they? But they don't say how many days. How many days is a Nazir for? 30 days. How do I know 30 days? Because it says, Kihiyeh Nazir. What's the Gematria Yihiyeh? 30. So the Gemara says we see it's 30 days. Now, a Gematria like that, a real significant Gematria that's going to affect how you live your life, that you need a Kabbalah for. The Gemishna says in Pirkei Avos that Gematria is parparos l'chachma. What does that mean? It's like dessert. Gematrias are good. It's like icing on the cake. Gematrias are never the main thing. What does that mean? Some people get angry when people use gematrias. They think it's all, you know, it's all made up. Some gematrias are made up. But just that it's made up doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. A gematria should never be the main thing. If somebody starts out their drush is saying, you know, the gematria of this and the gematria of that are the same, and therefore now we're going to develop this idea, that's backwards. If you build a whole drusha and you build a whole yesod, and then you show at the end, oh, and now we can show this based on all the facts that I brought together. This and this now reflects the idea of gematria through gematria, then that's okay. It's parparos l'chachma. It's icing on the cake. It's at the end of the show. So the Ramban over here is saying as well, you can find Sota Satora in the numerical values of their words. Or the form of the letter itself. For example, that means that the way we know in Safras, when you write a Sefer Torah, so an Aleph is really above down the middle, and two yuds on one on top, one on the bottom. A bay, all the letters of the Aleph base are made of other letters. And each letter contains secrets and significant meanings about how it's formed. You know, some letters have crowns on top and things like that. We'll talk about it in a second as well. Or he talks about Mishtanos Bitsurasan. They have different letters, right? Some, for example, last week's Sarsha, Vayikra. What's the letter in Vayikra? Small Aleph, right? Small Aleph. So that's also a message as well. The way the letters are written in the Torah also impact these things additionally. So it says over here different letters, and it says Kagon Halifufos Vaakumos. What does that mean? Bent or crooked letters. So we don't really have this in our Sefer Torah, but we used to have, and the Rambam writes it as in the Sefer Torah, these very interesting letters that were written in very funny ways. You find them in very old Sefer Torah, which are probably not in your shuls, so you wouldn't see them, but they would write letters in very interesting ways on a particular Masorah tradition how to do it. Perhaps the most famous one is a letter Pei. The letter Pei in a Torah is really what? It looks like a letter Pei. You know, it looks like this, right? Right? And what they used to do is they would then extend this and make like another one inside. They would like make like another loop inside. Certain osios Pei in the Torah. Okay, they had different mesoras and things like that. So I was going to point out that Rav Eliyahu Kitov in his Sefer Toda'ah, or the English Book of Our Heritage, he gives examples of where these appear in different Sefer Torah, but in English one, apparently did not do that. So it's only in the Hebrew one, and how they would all these would different look. The Ramah Sefer Torah had this, and Torah Shlaima writes about this as well, different examples of these different types of interesting letters that all contained secrets of the Torah as well. Or, for example, the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, it says that Hashem made Brisi Shalom, that he made a covenant of Shalom with Pinchas. What is it? Anybody know what the Vav looks like in the word Shalom in the Sefer Torah? Not that you'd ever see it, but the Vav is broken. If you open up a table to say the Torah being in touch with Pinchas, the Vav has a space in the middle. The Sofer writes it purposely with a break in the middle, because the talking about the type of Shalom that Pinchas made, whatever it may be. But again, these are all things that we learn different ideas from as well. And he talks here about, again, Obakote Osos Vikisrayam. He talks about attaching the crowns to the letters as well. And the crowns on top. This is the Tagin, the different crowns are on top. The Maharal says that the letters of the Torah are the body of the Torah, and the Tagin are the more subtle secrets of the Torah as well. There's a comment in the Talmud Shalmishklav, who was a Talmud of the Shalmishklav was a Talmud of the Lagon. He has a parish of Masecha Shkalim that's printed. He says that we know that Yisrael stands for what? Yesh Shishim Ribos Osios the Yisrael. That every Jew has a letter in the Torah, and the crowns, he says, represent the converts to Judaism. They are the Geirim who come. And he explains why that's the case. But all these things have a deeper level of understanding and meaning as well. So he goes on to say Kamosha Amru Kishala Moshe Lamarom Matsola Kodesh Baruch Hashia Kosher Kisar Mlaosir. So Hashem was attaching these crowns to the letters of the Torah itself. The Ramban's point is not to lose focus, is that all of these things contain depth and meaning to understand the Torah. Amar lo, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Eilu lama, what are you doing here? Why are you attaching these crowns? Amar lo, asir adam echad l'drosh behem tzli tzlaim shahalachos. There'll be a man in the future who darshins and makes drushes of mounds and mounds of these things. Ad zum minayin lecha. So Rabbi Akiva answered him, where do you know this? They asked Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva said, Amar lo, halacha Moshe mi Sinai. This all comes as halacha l'moshi, Moshe mi Sinai. All of these hints and these letters and things are only found by Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the Ramban is telling us a chiddush here that the secrets of the tagin of the crowns can only be understood with the tradition. And you have to have this halacha Moshe Mesinai in order to do it. That's generally not what people explain this Gemara to mean, but that's how the Ramban understands it as well. We don't even have any record of any halachos that we learned from the crowns of the Torah. It doesn't exist anymore, but there was such a Kabbalah at certain points in time. Okay, let's do a little bit more. Umizeh amru b'shir hashirim, and it says in Shir Hashirim, we don't have this version of Shir Hashirim in our editions, but they quote the following. Rabba b'chizkiyo sefer tagi har lehem. It says that Chizkiyo, he was visited by the kings of Bavel, and he tried to impress them in order to find favor with them. He showed them the Sefer Tage, the Book of Tagin, the recordings of all where the Tagin and the crowns go on the Sefer as well. Again, we don't have this text, so it's hard to know exactly what it's referring to. Sefer Zehu Yadua Matzei Eitzel Kol Adam, people knew about this book. Yifaresh Bo Kama Alafin Yesh B'Tar B'Tagin, it would tell you how many Alves there are in the Torah that have crowns. B'Kama Bezin B'Sharosu B'Sefer HaTagin Kol Echzechazes, how many each one has crowns as well. The Sefer HaTagin was printed in the 1800s in different versions of it. It's not really, now when a person writes a Torah, we have a tikkun that he writes. I know, like when your brother studied for his bar mitzvah, you had like a tikkun that has a Sefer Torah on one side and the regular words on the other side. There was a big controversy a few weeks ago because they found out that a sofer wrote a tikkun for other soferim to write the Sefer Torah from, and then 3 years later they found out there were mistakes in his edition that people were copying from. So there was a big to-do in all the shuls. But Baruch Hashem, most of the Torahs are fine. Some of the Torahs are not, but most of them are fine. So they will copy from, need to know how to make all these different changes. The issue here is not that you showed them a book. That's not the issue over here. Okay? The idea, the issue here is that he explained to them the depths of what those crowns mean, the secrets of the Torah. The Sham B'Medrash Shir Hashirim Rabba Amru, it says in the Medrash Shir Hashirim Rabba that it has K'siv V'Yageh Lachem Es Habriso, he told them his covenant, V'Yageh Lachem Sefer Bereishis, he told them the book of Bereishis, Sheyeschilas B'Yaso Shel Olam, which is the beginning of the creation of everything. Okay? It's making the word on the drush on the word bris, gracious. Asher tziva eschem lasos asar dvarim, that he commands you to make 10 things. Elo asar dibros, these are 10 commandments. Asar lemikra, asar the Talmud. Also the 10 psukim and 10 things from the Gemara. This is talking about Torah Shebaal Peh. V'chi minayin yavo Elihu ben Barachel buzi v'gal alehem Yisrael chedrei behemos l'yasan. Where did Elihu ben Barachel, who was one of the friends of Eov, come and reveal the secrets of what the behemoth is, what the leviathan was? These are all those two animals that Hashem created in the beginning of Maaseh Bereishis, and he had to hide them away because they were being destructive. You know this medrash? No? Well, by Maaseh Bereishis, Hashem created a behemoth, this giant animal like an ox, and a leviathan, this giant fish. You know about the leviathan because we talk about it in Sukkos, and like eating the leviathan fish when the Mashiach comes. No? No recognition I'm talking about? Okay, then we need more background. Okay. Hashem created 2 animals by Maaseh Bereishis. One of them was this giant ox, but it was too destructive, and Hashem had it killed, or it was like put away for the Moshe Mashiach. And then he created this giant fish. There was actually 2 of them, and one of them, they were too destructive together, and he put it away for Yemosa Mashiach. And when the time comes, and Mashiach comes, by the Siddur Mashiach, all the tzaddikim will come and partake of the Leviathan, of this giant fish, and also maybe the animal, according to the Gemara. There's a discussion about how they're going to be shechted. Not important for right now. But again, these are deep secrets of Kabbalah and Mashiach and things like that. So Elihu was one of the friends of Eov. And he talks about all of these things in his conversation. And the Ramban and Eov explains that Elio came from a family that had Mesora and Emunah and Hashem, and Elio, who was the only one who knew about Gilgulim and things like that, and these animals are apparently discussed. Now, the truth is, we don't really find discussions about this in our text of in our edition, and the Radal says that the Medrash should read the secrets of the winds and the rains. And there's a whole discussion what the Ramban's referring to. Whatever, some deep Kabbalistic idea. And where did Yechezkel know about the secrets of the Merkava, the chariot of Hashem? So the answer is, that the king brought me into his chambers. I came close to Hashem. Kolomar shakol nilmed v'hatorah. Everything is learned from the Torah. Meaning, where all the secrets of Kabbalah come from? Where all these deep, profound ideas originate from? They're all found in the text of the Torah. But you need to know how to mine it. You need to know how to bring it out. You need to know how to reveal these ideas in order to bring these ideas to the world and these deeper concepts. Okay.